Hi, all. Before we begin, I just wanted to announce that our live show is next Thursday at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 New York, with special guest Nicole Byer, Jessica St. Clair in a red towel talk part two, where I confront my friend for some devastatingly egregious behavior. We've got Drew Jogi, we've got song, we've got dance, we've got audience participation. It's going to be so much fun. Watch from the comfort of your goddamn home with a glass of wine and a margarita. There's a chat. You can just, you know, honestly, slam us in the chats, whatever you want. And it's really fun. You can grab tickets on our Instagram, Casey Rose Wilson, in my bio. There's tickets. Join us June 24th. And here's the show. Hello, everyone. Casey here. Danielle has gone back to Mecca, her homeland, Florida. And she will not be joining us today for what is a very special episode. We were not slated to do a podcast this week, but as you know, when alarming things happen and when there are emergencies in our world, it's all hands on deck. And luckily, I have a wonderful pair of hands at the wheel with me today, joining me for this very special episode that we are simply titling The Housewife and the Hustler. I am the housewife. Please meet the hustler, Brandon Kyle Goodman.
Yes, I'm so honored to be the hustler to your housewife.
Oh, it just feels right, doesn't it?
It feels so good.
It feels good. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yes, we have so much to talk about. This has been a very big week.
Big week. I just want to get into it. I mean, of course, I want to hear how you are, but I do feel like we'll understand how we both are as it relates through the lens.
Through our ladies, yes.
Of what we have witnessed this week. We're also going to quickly touch on the Kardashians reunion and the role that I played in it. And we're going to talk about New York and Beverly Hills. So shall we jump in with Hulu's documentary?
Hulu's soon-to-be award-winning documentary.
Honestly? Award-winning.
Honestly, it was the cold open for me. The cold open,
which I don't know if people know that if you're not in our business, but that's like the fun little moment, like your friends, like the opening fun ha-has.
Yeah, it's like how it all begins. And obviously this documentary began with the legend, the icon, the OG, Danielle Staub.
When she walked out, of course, I thought it was Erica. I mean, they're just showing it was like a Wiki Feet shot as she crept. It was the strangest low angle I've ever seen.
They really gave her shoe cam, like really gave her that shoe cam. And nobody else got shoe cam, by the way.
Nobody else. They had the camera on the ground. She walked up very slowly and she took a seat as though she were, I'm trying to even think of who has ever sat down for like an explosive interview.
She felt like she was channeling her Barbara Walters moment, as if Barbara Walters were giving her this expose. You know what I'm saying? It was like she was ready to be interviewed by the queens of talk.
Exactly. Now, the documentary had two parts to it, I feel.
Uh-huh.
The first part was like, oh, wow, here are the undesirables, the fringes, the marginalized housewives, the castasides, you know, the poor unfortunate souls of the Housewives franchise, which includes, of course, Ms. Danielle Staub and Ms. Dana Wilkie.
Yes.
Of the $25,000 sunglasses.
Yes.
Both of their looks, a lot to just drop in and accept and be with.
The lace on the shoes. I was like, you know, she glammed up for it. She was
she
here.
Did. She did. And yeah, and like the little belt was askew. But you know what?
It's okay.
I'm not going to do that to my fellow women because that's not right. But it was like, oh, what is this now? Like, who are our journalists that are with us? And then things did take a turn.
It did get dark. I do want to say that I thought
it
was
interesting. Yeah, let's spend a little more time on the opening.
I want to say with this opening that Danielle saying that she only met Erica once or twice just was the cherry on top of this. It was like, why are you here?
How many people did they reach out to that we trickled down?
Oh, certainly.
Right? Like, was everybody reached out to?
I feel like they must have reached out to Rinna. They must have reached out to Vanderpump. They must have like been
Garcelle.
Yes. And then they just went down and was like, who has Erica ever been in a room with?
Ever. And David did not meet that criteria at all. I love how Danielle was like, yeah, she's a bitch. So am I. What is happening? I mean, for Erica, what a nightmare it must be to be like, okay, all of my dirty laundry, the heinous crimes that I, sitting here, believe her husband committed.
Yes.
My laundry will be aired by Danielle Staub and Dana Wilkie.
At the, like, I mean, this is the bottom of the barrel.
The bottom of the barrel. For a man who deserves the bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely.
So we do turn into this incredibly dark, honestly, kind of Erin Brockovich-esque. And we meet the Erin Brockovich of this story, which, yeah. God, I'm blanking on her name. The gorgeous woman in the pink, who was like the activist, her and her friend.
Yes.
I loved her.
I didn't keep track of anybody's names. I was just engrossed with the story itself. And like, I don't know if this was you, but it started like, what is this? This is juicy. And then it was like, oh, this is real. Like, this is hitting me. This is disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. And now they did pony up for Karma Chameleon for that song to show us who Tom is. And it is weird because Tom, to me, did present like a gentle kind of soul who was very smart, not interested in house size, but like supportive of his wife. And what we did see was a man who took advantage. I mean, I guess allegedly, but as you know, we have no journalistic standard here.
We don't preface anything.
We're going to speak freely. So this man did all of this.
Yes.
And he took advantage of, literally, he would represent, you know, people who have had horrible things happen to them, plane crash victims. I mean, everyone's seen it, so I won't even get into it. But, you know, so dark, and taking their money and siphoning off funds from accounts that were not his to take from.
Yeah. And then also just like the added layer of like watching that money be spent on TV. And I think that's what, like, you know, all the victims were kind of bringing to light is like, you know, we didn't get a cent of our money, but like, here's Erica and Tom on TV living these lavish lives and talking about it, which I don't know about you, but I was like, that's stupid on Tom and Erica's part. Like, or if Tom, let's just say Erica doesn't know, because I think people are like, the jury's out on whether or not Erica knew. I don't know. I love to hear from you all
just for my own. Yeah. Love to know, you know, like, what you're thinking.
I don't know how you didn't. Whatever.
But on Tom, three, in a second, after your comment, I want us to on three say if we believe she did it.
Okay.
Please at home, just speak your truth out loud.
Speak your truth if she knew. Yeah. But I'm just like, Tom. Like, Tom knows that he's taking all this money and then allowing it to be on TV just seems stupid, right?
It's egregious. And here's my question, though. Was he doing this because he knew he wanted to look good on TV? So was the money all for Erica? Was it all to kind of show on TV? Or was that just like a byproduct? This is their life. And he's trying, like, where did this fucking amount of money go?
Yes.
Where did it go? Know. Is that all the like chapel she built in the Pasadena house? And now we know she spends money. I mean, she made no secret of that.
And you know what was wild is that, like, the whole, I feel like her brand used to be like, Erica supplies her glam squad first class and like she pays for everyone. And she had this like, oh, wow, she knows how to use that money. And now it's like, yikes, girl.
I was seeing on the Twitter that a lot of people are going back and rewatching episodes through a new lens.
Uh-huh.
And it is truly like, because I did feel kind of fun. It's like, she's married to this older man. It's unconventional. We were all so taken with the fact that she had an alter ego. Like, we'd never seen anything like it.
Yes.
And then you go back and see just the like flaunting of wealth, which again is what we like about the shows. But it so reminds me of Teresa in early Jersey when she was paying for furniture with cash.
Cash, yeah.
Although with Erica and the crimes themselves, it's so much darker.
Yeah. It's like you can't root for it. No matter how you slice and dice it, like, it's just bad and gross and like it taints everything.
It's despicable. Now, a lawyer, I don't have any names here, came out, I guess, on a podcast. I believe it was Kate Casey's podcast. And she's lovely. And I read an article that he basically said, I guess he's representing
some victims. And he basically said, we have absolute proof that Erica knew all about this because there was an, then they say this on the documentary, I guess like an LLC again, I don't know these people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that her, you know, her name was there. He's funneling millions of dollars into her account. But is there a chance, Brandon, that she's thinking, you know, he's giving me all this money to live my dream and no idea that he's doing all this? Because I will say Erica does seem like to have a moral center from what we've seen.
Sure. You know what it was for me was I think one of the lawyers, I don't know if it's one, the guy, the white guy with the gray hair, very big. He felt, had a New York energy. I don't know his name. But when he was like basically saying like no lawyer can afford like this much, a bunch of people were like, yeah, like he could make money, but like not this much money. And so for me, I'm like, well, does Erica know that? Because I feel like if you're like, oh, we're making like we have like two planes, like. Is there not a red flag of like, wait, what exactly do you do that we have two planes?
But I guess I do feel like some lawyers are extremely rich. But I guess when you put it in the context of what kind of lawyer he is, like, you know, these motherfucking gross entertainment lawyers out here. And they're making like so much money.
Yes.
This, when you write, when you think about it, it's like he's representing victims of like, you know,
massive like tragedies, and you're like, how are you? I guess that's what I'm saying, like if you're my partner, at a certain point there has to be like a you're the Scooby-Doo, like there has to be like a little something
right, like I don't know what my husband does, and I work with him, you know, and he makes television shows, but sometimes I am like, I don't know what's going on over there, but you have an idea.
Yeah. Like, if your husband were like, I just bought Pasadena, you'd be like, huh.
Here's the thing, though. Erica, to me, is so calculated and savvy, including the way in which she's striding into Sutton's house, cold as ice, ready, composed, cool, calm. Ready. Part of me is just like, Erica is a survivor. I mean, we've seen her from Shakers, you know. Sure. Part of me is like, would she, even just out of complete self-preservation, even if I'm not even going to give her the benefit that she would feel for these victims, although I hope she would, don't you think if she did find out, she would leave? Or you don't think so? Or she's just like turning a blind eye in denial?
Oh my goodness. This is controversial.
Go ahead.
Wait, on the count of three, do you think she knows? Okay, ready.
So wait, when are we saying? Like 6 months prior, a year prior, at some point she knew before she filed and before the shit hit the fan, right?
That's what yes, we're before she filed, she knew is the question. So
okay. I feel like we're going to hear this movie. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, then say.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. And she knew, she didn't know. That's what we'll say.
Knew, okay? Didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Ready. Okay.
One, two, three.
She knew.
Didn't know.
You delayed. What did you say?
I said didn't know.
Got it.
I'm so naive, though. Like, I take people at their word at face value in a way that's so self-protective for myself. Because someone tells me something, and even if I know they're lying, I'm like, well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I guess I'm having a little trouble. Like, I do like Erica. So I just want to believe that something so terrible, another human would not be conspiring along with it. But tell me where I know I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Here's why. And this is where, like, you know, I get behind the veil of like reality television and like real life, which is that, like, if my husband did some fuck shit like this, it's not going to be a storyline. Like, I'm going to be out here swinging on social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be very vocal in my real life about it. And there's just, I don't know, maybe she can't legally, but there just feels
vocal,
like.
Vocal being like, I had absolutely nothing.
Absolutely no
man.
Idea. And but like not just on the TV show. I probably would have stopped filming the TV show because it's so fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'd be on a street corner with a sign. Yes. I have a skywriter. Yes.
Yes.
And I'd be like, here, take every single item that I own.
Yes. Yes.
And give it back to the victims. It really did make me feel sick when we learned that she is asking for an injunction or whatever to for them to put her items aside.
Right.
And I got to say, it's like, okay, even if you didn't know, if you know that your household has taken money from widows and children of plane crash victims, exactly, you're giving those goddamn purses up.
Yes, 1,000%. And that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't feel like, and who knows what's happening behind the scenes, but I'm like, I'm simultaneously watching this storyline play out on another TV show, and it just feels like at a certain point, don't you go, okay, this is my real life and some real fuck shit has happened. And like, that's what's most important, not any kind of storyline, not any kind of like brand. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. It's not the one like post she did one night where she's like, Tom's fucking another DA.
Right.
Like, it's like, I am putting so much distance between myself and this person and doing anything I can in my personal power to make it right.
Yeah.
To that, I'm sure she'd be like, well, I can't say anything. But you know, her last, she's now been through, I could be making this up, like three sets of attorneys, or her attorneys have let her go since they saw The Housewife and The Hustler. And they're basically like, they feel she's not given them enough. They feel they can't represent her. And that.
But did you see that they came back on? I just saw that last night. Like, they dropped her.
And then they came back.
Then they came back. And it's unclear why, but it, like, they just came back. And so I.
Okay, this is confusing. Really something. Okay.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. Because I was just judging you. I'm like, wow, Brandon doesn't know that the lawyers left. Meanwhile, this is the story of my life. You're like, no, sweetie, you're many days behind.
You're literally 12 hours behind. Okay, That's it.
You're the hustler and I'm merely the housewife.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, I'm starting to think she did know. I just don't want it to be true.
I don't want it to be true either. I think that's a hard thing. You never want to, when you like somebody and you feel like you follow them and you support them and you don't want to believe the bad shit. But I'm having a hard time being like, I don't know, this is your household. You didn't think like you had one too many Birkins and you didn't have like a question about that or like.
Yeah. You didn't think you had one too many latex suits. I'm very curious. Now you're right. I'm like, well, how fucking reckless to keep filming. Now, of course, selfishly, I'm glad you did.
Of course, we want the story.
But what I feel we're going to get, I don't think we're getting tears out of her. We're getting just like, I absolutely didn't know. And
that's really why she kept filming, because she's like, I'm gonna spin this. And that's what I mean between like, you know, I understand that like we're cast on this show, but then there's also like this actual legal, like real lives have been impacted by this. And at that point, I feel like that outweighs a show. And I would be doing everything off the show to like clean this up. And I don't feel that energy.
No, but maybe that's legal. I'm feeling like sound bites about her living next door to Armie Hammer.
Right.
I'm feeling something different. Yeah. I just found it so disgusting on Tom's part. It made me so sad.
I mean,
for that family and like really, really upsetting stuff. Here's what I do like as a framework, which is seeing another network cover a scandal on Bravo. I like this. It's like,
I like it.
Fresh take, you know?
Yeah. It also like shows that like, you know, like our little network is actually really legit.
Right. We're getting out there into the big world of streaming cable. Like, where's Jen Shah? Where's that? That's got to be coming.
Oh, that's got to be good.
Yeah, that's coming.
That's going to be it. Also, I do want to say, I know that we're talking about Erica because of the podcast that we're on, but it, as we've already said, like Tom is really the fucking asshole of this all. This the real villain.
And honestly, like, psychopath.
The psychopath.
Yeah.
You have to be psychotic, right? Like there has to be a certain level. I was saying to my husband when I was watching it, I can't imagine stealing money from victims who have experienced such intense tragedy and like spending it on planes and houses and all this stuff and like going to sleep at night fine.
Well, you have to be psychotic. I mean, they say that there's like, I guess it's sociopath that like, there's a huge amount. I don't know the percentages, but like more people than we think are. Yeah. Many, many more people like walking around amongst us.
It's so dark.
We'll see. But what do you think about in terms of Tom having a conservator and like being unfit? Because if that's a lie, that's so disgusting. And I really appreciated that one lawyer was like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt he might be. But like 2 months ago, he seemed completely fine.
I mean, was it Housewives or was it the documentary that like cut to like him like talking about, I think it was Housewives. So like cut to him like talking about some of his time on set and he seemed very lucid. So I'm just like, I don't know. It's really convenient. It's
very it's convenient. Like, and if anything, I'm like, okay, Tom's protecting himself, it seems like. What's Erica up to?
Yeah, what are those conversations?
She's going to need to sit down with someone. And I don't think it's going to be Andy. She needs to go way up the chain. Oprah's not doing it. So I don't know.
Oprah's not doing it.
I don't know.
Wendy? Is that?
Who'd you say? Like, wow. Okay. Look, I'd love to see that. Yeah. I think, I don't know who.
The View? Like, who do you think? Like, who would your ideal?
Interesting. The View. Like, all of them or just like a kind of one-on-one?
Like, all of them. No.
Like, Hoda? Is she taking that on? Is Gail taking that on?
Gail. Okay, CBS. CBS in the morning.
That's nice. CBS in the morning. Or maybe it's a night special for Gail.
Yeah.
And Gail's going to get tough on her.
Yeah. Gail will do that.
Right.
Maybe.
But she's also a pal. A little.
Yeah. She's like, she's like asking the hard-hitting questions, but from love to like, understand. Or is it a red table talk?
God, what a dream. I really do want Jada and the gals on this because, they always have different opinions.
They do.
Based on their generation. That's the premise.
Yes.
Jada's mom is like, you're guilty as hell.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to hear about my daughter's threesomes and you're guilty.
1,000%.
Okay. Yes, that would be explosive for her to go there.
A Facebook watch moment.
Facebook watch. I would like to see her on a major network for this, but okay. Wow. Okay. Any other thoughts on The Housewife and The Hustler? If you haven't seen it, get into it, but truly be prepared to see the most like fluffy, embarrassing opening and then take a very hard turn into an abyss of dark.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Chris Murphy, who is a Vanity Fair correspondent, was one of the talking heads on it. And we're going to be blessed to have him as a guest in 2 weeks. And he's a delightful writer. I used to recap The Housewives for Vulture.
Okay.
What a guest. I mean, and this
is with
no disrespect to our current guest. I don't want to talk about other guests in front of you, but I know there's room at the top. You know that.
There's room. Yeah. I stand.
You're always supporting everyone, bringing everyone up.
Yes.
But, we'll send out a poll about who is better. But so Chris Murphy's joining us. Oh, God. Please. Okay. Brandon, should we take a quick break and come back?
I love that. Let's do it.
We're back. Maybe we should talk about the two Housewives shows this week, and then we'll bookend with Kardashian Reunion Part 1.
I can't wait.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Okay. Beverly Hills.
I guess.
All I have first is, and Sutton. Sutton saying, this car, what did she want? What kind of car was she getting?
It was a Bentley.
Bentley. She's like, this car is the first car I ever bought without asking permission. And then she goes, my business manager said I could buy it.
Yes.
That's a back statement. God, seeing Sutton on Watch What Happens Live this week with June Diane Raphael was really a meeting of the mind. Sutton looked like her older sister. And I just have to say, so Andy was sitting there. Someone tweeted, it's June Diane on a TV remote in the first seat for me. Because June's in a TV placed over a seat.
I saw the clip of that where she's on a TV over a seat. I was
disembodied.
Like, what are we doing here?
There's Sutton sitting next to her. And Sutton, instead of looking at the prompter to see the frame of the show, God bless her. She's turning directly to June's
to TV.
And she's like, thank you. Very polite. Like, I'm just the way she would turn to the TV and give June her credence. Now, June cannot see her through that TV. It was amazing. And June, I posted it, but June goes, Sutton, have you never been kicked under the table before? And they just look at each other for a long time. And then Sutton goes, no, I haven't. And June goes, no, I'm asking a genuine question. Like, have you never experienced being kicked under a table? And Sutton's like, no.
Lies.
What do you think of Sutton?
Okay, so I was actually wrote down. I was like, I can't tell if I like her as a housewife or if I prefer her as a friend. And yet she is the genesis of a lot of the drama. Obviously, we're still waiting for Erica, right? But until we get to Erica, I mean, Sutton, I think it was the episode before with the purple roller talking to on her face, talking to Crystal, was just an iconic moment to me. She brings the crazy in such a delightful way.
The roller? was really wild. Andy was rolling and Watch What Happens Live, and then June started rolling with a giant dildo on her face. I was like, June, stop.
June, stop it.
Stop. That roller was really like Sutton's. I think Crystal's right. Like she's out.
Something, she's like ready to pop off. And she's like keeping a tight lid. But I feel like when you're somebody who has that tight lid, I don't know if a reality show is like the space for you.
Or is it the perfect space?
Or is it?
Yeah. I really don't care for her. And I think I said that pretty baldly and got into some amount of trouble. I said simply on Watch What Happens Live, I hate her. And that's hard. But I don't know. Then she kind of sometimes makes me laugh. Like, and she's backwards as hell.
She's, I mean, that Paris Parisian party that she threw at Kyle's house.
When she was like, I kind of need to know if Erica's coming because I'm throwing a $25,000 party. And then to sell her wares.
She's selling stuff. I was like, no, what?
Okay, when Kathy and Kyle visited her bunk ass janky store, which giving Kyle by Aileen to a run for its money. And I'm like, is this a closet space with the general manager that's running it? That's all wild, that gentleman.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Kathy kept just trying to reimagine the space. And Sutton has not asked for that. Kyle,
she did not.
No, Kathy's like, yeah, does that desk have to be there? Can I ask? Is that a bathroom? And she's like, that's a supply closet.
Kathy is truly the MVP of this season for me. She really has added a new dynamic. She's so rich, she doesn't need to be here. I don't think she knows that she's on the show.
No, she's really... this is cinema verite for Kathy. She has no idea she's there, which I love. And then everyone else is getting all like dolled up for this party. And she's like, well, the invitation said Paris during the day, and this is what I'm wearing.
Oh my God. I loved when Sutton was explaining her love of Paris. And she said, I love walking in the rain in Paris. And I was like, nobody likes walking in the fucking rain. Like, what are you talking about?
No, but I'm just picturing her walking. And it's like her tears intermingling with the rain. And doing it for like 2 minutes and being like, I need a cab. Dorit being like, honey, I'm getting croissant. It was like, I did like Dorit's outfit.
So wild. Dorit always looks so good. It's really just annoying.
Do you think Garcelle and Erica are friends? Like, I'm wondering where Garcelle's going to come out on all this. I mean, she did say Erica should have waited for Tom to die.
Shouldn't she wait? It was my favorite.
Everyone was like, and I'm sorry, honestly, what?
I think that what was great about that moment is I think the ladies and us at home also were like, what do you mean, Chichu? Like, I didn't know right away what she meant. No. And then once I knew, I was like, oh, yeah, same. Shouldn't she wait
until he dies? You know what I miss on the show as I'm watching it? It's like, I miss Kyle's old nose.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm glad that she's letting us see the process of the new nose.
That is what I love about Kyle. She's just like, oh, yeah, I'll schedule this right before we start back. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I mean, I will say that we stan a Housewives editor. The opening with Erica's voiceover or VO or something, and then like the look directly to that car camera was amazing. Oh. I shook. I stood up. I screamed. I said, ah, she's looking at the camera.
She's like, we're breaking the fourth wall because, of course, we have broken. It was perfect.
Yes, it was perfect.
And the way they did the sounds when the door opened and she walked in.
Yes. And she closes that door at the end. And we're like, ugh, it was everything.
It's kind of like, you know, when you plan a vacation, I read some study that like looking forward to it does bring you the same amount of happiness as almost going on it.
Yes.
So I do feel like waiting, as much as I'm annoyed they're making me wait, it's giving me a thrill. I'm still enjoying it.
Something to look forward to. Also, this episode, Crystal, by the way, is truly like, wow. I'm really obsessed with Crystal. Crystal's really here for it. I lived when she was in the car with her husband and talking about, it's funny how people can worry about these other petty things when there's an election. Cut to Dorit and Kyle having an argument.
I've never seen something so secondary as that election. And the fact that when they all met up for that Parisian party, it seemed like this is the day that our new president was elected the very day, and they're all like, yeah.
Yeah, no, no, let's talk about this on this.
We don't have that. Crystal to me is like someone who, a friend I went to lunch with the other day, I was asking about her job, and she said a phrase that I feel with Crystal. She said, my job is so intense, it's like taking a sip off a fire hose, trying to take a sip of water off a fire hose. You're like, get blown back. And that to me is visual. Crystal. She's literally looking around like, guys, after a weekend with you, my eating disorder was deeply triggered. Like, just putting it out there, does she look shell-shocked?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, since this is somewhat of more of a mini episode, is there anything else you have before we go on to New York?
I'm sorry. I do want to say, Crystal with the ultimate flex of the Hermes bag on the table, just resting
there. Resting Hermes face.
That $95,000 bag just sitting on
the
table.
A smaller bag for that price.
Very small.
I did think it was cute.
I thought it was cute, but I didn't understand why we were staring so hard, and then that price tag, you know, the editor.
The amount of time they lingered on it. It's like in a mystery when they show a gun. Like, for a long time, you're like, oh, this gun will go off. It's like...
Yeah.
Would you spend, I'm genuinely asking, like, and I don't know anyone's financial situation, but like, if you had that kind of money, are you spending it on a bag? Are you going to pay that much?
No.
Yeah.
No. And they can send it to me, but I would never. Like, that's...
Send it to me. No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll accept that.
Yeah. No, I just don't understand. Like, and it's a small bag. It's like, it's like a carrier phone and a little
wallet. If I had that kind of money, maybe like a yacht with friends and a vacation, a private plane, like that,
yes,
I'll spend my money.
Sure.
No, it won't be for charity, but I, you know.
JK.
Okay. What are your thoughts on New York? Also, election. I love that we're running parallel trains. That feels important and powerful.
We are. So many thoughts about New York. You know, New York is really doing a deep dive into like race, which is just really fascinating to watch and like interesting to realize that they've never had to deal with that on the show because they haven't had a Black housewife. And so it's just been really mind-boggling to watch them fumble around Ebony and also
and
just
the
reassuring
fumble
that
they have
fumble they have and luckily like Ebony is like so secure in herself and so able to handle them, but I was like, oh my god, this is
well, that's wild. It's a lot on Ebony's shoulders.
Yes.
And Crystal as well in Beverly Hills. And Garcelle to some degree. But I do feel like right now in this moment, Crystal and Ebony are doing a lot of heavy lifting and educating.
Yes.
But
yes.
Unfortunately, like they kind of have to because, you know, where normally I would say it's not on anyone else. But in this particular instance, they're kind of a bit on an island and so many people watch these shows.
Yes.
So it is an opportunity, but it's just so frustrating to watch these women continue. I don't mean they have to. It's just like, I think the opportunities are there for the taking, unfortunately. And it's so I don't know. What do you think about that? I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, no, when I was watching both Crystal, I think Crystal in this episode was talking about the experience of like wanting to be American, and then Ebony's obviously navigating Luann and Ramona. And I was like, this, you know, sucks to like watch that play out. But I also know that both ladies know what show they're on and know what they're walking into. And so it's also nice to see the conversations happening because people who watch the show probably have never really heard that experience.
Well, that's like what I mean. It's like it is such an opportunity because you know how many people are out there when Heather, after, you know, pretending to be this like woke ally all episode and then casually is like, anybody ever told you you're articulate? There are probably lots of people out there that clearly if you know that don't know why that is so deeply offensive. So it's kind of like, okay, Crystal's gonna have to kind of say this again, which makes me feel like badly for her, but at the same time I'm also like appreciative she's taking the time to say it.
Yes, you know, because exactly, like Ebony and Crystal is like breaking it down why these things are problematic is really helpful to those who are either interested in doing their work or are out here saying to Black people, you're so articulate and don't understand that it's a microaggression. Because one, in the real moment, like I don't have time to tell you why. I'm just going to be like, okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But we're on a show, you know, there is that platform. Yeah, when you're a housewife, you got to engage in it.
And well, so, and quite literally, it's become a storyline because,
yes,
you know, I mean, it's just, it is fascinating. And, you know, I bummed to see, like, on Twitter, some people are like, oh, the storylines are too much revolving around this. But I'm kind of like, we have seen all manner of storyline on these shows. This is the time right now. Like, what are you talking about?
This is the moment. This is the moment to see these storylines.
And we're actually behind in this conversation on The Housewives.
Yes. Yes. It would be a disservice to not talk about it. Because, I mean, how many people have, like, one Black friend in their circle or at their job or in their neighborhood, you know, like, has the one person of color in their space? And what are you doing and what are you saying that is offensive and that is hurtful and you're not even cognizant of it? And that person shouldn't have to educate you about it. But, you know, when we're on a show, we get to use the moment to amplify it.
100%. Now, what do you make of the accusation from Leah and Sonia, who, oh God, Sonia, just wish she'd stop drinking so much.
I know.
But I love her so much. Of the accusation that Ramona, in an effort to not appear racist, because we all know Ramona is a Mar-a-Lago head, that yes. She's now posting photos. I think that a friend of is coming on, because I have a friend who knows this new woman a bit. A friend of is joining us, a Black woman.
Okay. Yes.
That Ramona is kind of like trying to cultivate this image to try to.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, it tracks.
I mean, that tracked to me. I was like, I saw no lies. I said, no lie detected here. That tracks. I mean, Ramona has been on this show forever. I don't know if she's ever had a Black friend up on the show.
When they do the coming up and Ramona's just for some reason sitting alone in a bedroom with a dog running around her feet. And she's like, she always wants to educate me. But I don't want to be educated. That's her in a nutshell. But I don't want to be educated. Yes. She's like, oh, can we have fun?
It's going to be fun. I want to have fun. And it's like, oh, yeah. Like, your real shit is coming out. Like, you ain't. Yeah. We always knew everyone was a problem. But, like, now we're like,
we did look the other way a bit. We did. With a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know who I think is a bit unhinged?
Tell me.
Leah's sister.
Interesting. Well, yes.
Of course I love her bangs and her hair.
Of course. Her hair is perfection.
And I want her body, but something's doing under the surface there. I can't describe it.
They both shouldn't be here right now. This is what I mean about like
I know, and I'm not trying to make Leah feel badly at all for not being with her grandmother. I think we've all had that where you're missing someone's passing and
absolutely.
And I'm just going to say this. I did read a study, because study's not the word, because we can't talk to people who've passed, but that with hospice care workers and things, we'll say that a lot of people pass very much when their families leave the room because they either.
Yes.
So I just want anyone if they're feeling guilty to know that. But why are you in the Hamptons?
That's it. It's like, you don't have to be there, but like, it just seems like a lot of pressure to be on camera right now in the Hamptons with these ladies in this really vulnerable moment. Not that you have to be by grandma's side at this moment, but just like, you're going through some shit, like some real shit.
And anytime anyone would be like, let's go out, she's like, I'm dealing with my grandmother. I'm like, but then go home.
That's, I mean, I literally had that written. The first thing I wrote at the top of my page is Leah should go home. That's what I wrote here.
And her talent was truly terrible. So when when she won that thing, I was like, this is really. And then Lou told
thank
us.
Goodness that Lou said it was right. Because I was like, huh? How did Leah?
Why did Ramona keep saying she worked so hard on her cleavage? Does she mean she worked so hard like she went under the knife for it? Or she's doing like bench presses?
Well, the push-ups and the weights were not great.
My first note is, why is Leah still there? I said, maybe this is all taking place in a 2-night time span, but it feels like 9 weeks.
Yeah.
I thought when they announced Lou in the talent show, Mrs. Sag Harbor, I genuinely for a long time, and I was like, oh, okay. I thought they called her Mrs. Sad Harbor. I was like, that's nice. That's right. But no, that's not right.
No, that's all right. Zach Howard, yes. I would also say they were like, this, you know, we're doing this little Halloween party. There won't be a lot of people there. And I felt like there were quite a bit of people in that
quite
space.
Quite a few. I'm like, who are these people? Was that Lou's daughter in the front row?
Yes, it was like her daughter or her niece. I was like, why are you forcing these people to watch y'all with these lackluster
And very talents? Close.
Very close. Shouldn't we be much farther away?
A little further. Like, they're making no attempts. Like, to see Lou's assistant on her hands and knees fluffing her rug with what looks like Sutton's little roller.
Yes.
And I'm not judging, and I'm blessed to have an assistant, but she didn't come into our home for a year. You know, just seeing them all scurrying about maskless wonders. I mean, to not even be wearing a mask and have their assistants be in their homes and not let them wear masks.
They're really like... They're going for it. They're like, we're living a different reality. And I'm like, okay, well.
And in some ways, it's nice to see, but, you know, we know that Kyle and Co are about to get COVID, story-wise, storyline-wise.
Yes, we are. Yeah, they are.
Watching Ramona try to understand, which really made me laugh, from the real estate person, from the inherited wealth man whose father runs Douglas Elliman. For her to learn, she's like, now I guess it's not master bedroom. It's primary bedroom, dual bathroom, bachelor pad. I can't say that. I can't say steps away from the park. She's like, I'm going to have to mind my P's and Q's.
She was like, I'm unfiltered. I was like, no, that term you use is not unfiltered. It's just, it's like a slur. It's like, you're not unfiltered, honey. Like, you know.
Yeah, she's like, I'm raw.
She's like, I'm unfiltered. It's no.
It's just, no. Okay, Brandon, should we take a quick break and come back with Kardashians, or do you have anything else you want to say, like an overall state of affairs with New York, anything else?
I do want to say that, because we were talking about the race, I did Heather's apology.
Oh my, how can I have forgotten? Thank you.
I thought, like, I was like, you know, like, it sucks that she said what she said, but also, like, if anyone wants to know how to apologize, I felt like that was a decent way to apologize. Like, that's how that's how you handle the situation. And I was grateful that she realized that she fucked up, and instead of getting defensive about it, because a lot of times when people tell you did something wrong, you get defensive, and then it makes the person who's been victimized, you know, have to work 10 times harder or feel like they're gaslit. And so I was like, oh, this is what you do. And I think Ebony agreed. Like, that's what, you know, like,
And I think Ebony's like, she was like, okay, you know, and they kind of worked through it. Now, since then, there was an apology that Heather gave. I don't know if you saw it on Watch What Happens Live.
So that apology, I saw a piece of, and I had to keep scrolling.
I was hoping you had, so I could kind of like pretend I saw it, but I saw her pull out her papers, and I saw Ryan, the guy from Million Dollar Listing, Ryan Serhant, was like not prepared for this moment.
No.
Here she comes with Andy. Her paper. Nor was Andy. And it was multiple papers.
It was a lot of papers.
Give a statement on Watch What Happens Live. Like, it's not the forum.
That's not the place. We don't give statements on
Let's go off the cuff. Like, just this notion of, like, I'm so hell-bent on not fucking up that I'm going to write this down. It just feels so... She just really didn't do herself any favors by coming on.
She's missing the mark, you know? Like, it was the fact that there were so many papers to this apology that really was like, I can't sit here and watch you.
I cannot and I will not sit here. Watch this. Oh, what has she done? She's really weirdly come off like pretty villainous to me in a weird way. Maybe I just don't care for her.
But she wasn't like that when she was originally on the show.
No, she was like pretty innocuous, where I was like, oh, I don't love her, you know, but she's certainly not.
The holler always bothered me.
Of course.
Holler, that always bothered me, but like, I didn't have the words to explain why at the time.
Yeah, we didn't have the language at that point.
Yeah.
That it made us so sick. But but I just, something about seeing her, it turns my stomach.
Yeah, she shouldn't be back. She should have said no. Do you think she wanted to come back on the show? Like, do you think she was like, she was hoping that this friend track would maybe get her Apple back?
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah I do.
She wants that Apple.
Yeah, I might be a little more like not unsure about Erica's involvement, but I'm pretty sure that Heather wanted her Apple back.
Sure.
Speaking of getting their Apple back and their fruit back, big shakeup in Orange County.
Oh, yes. You know, I don't watch it as much, but I did see the headlines.
I did not watch it this season. I just couldn't with the election. Like, I will return to it next year. Sure. But
those ladies.
Okay, so Miss Kelly Dodd, who's now going by Kelly Leventhal, she has been booted. Bronwyn's been booted. And Elizabeth's gone. I never saw Elizabeth, so I don't know about her.
Yeah.
She's gone. I guess new women are in. And Ms. Heather Dubrow is back.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Heather is married to the surgeon who's on
Botched.
Botched. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's a power couple in the reality world.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of like Heather coming back because I do think they lost a little bit of sophistication on the show and it just like fully slid into Laguna sludge.
Yes, yes.
Laguna, the air is so thick. It's such a red area. It's thick.
Yeah, tracks.
I don't know. I'm good to see Heather come back, actually. I'm okay with that. But Kelly Dodd and Bronwyn had like a text exchange where Bronwyn was basically trying to be like, you know, I know we've been through a lot, baby girl, but like that was fun. And Kelly's like, what the fuck? You're woke ass shit. And your bullshit is what got us fired. And all your lies and your crazy shit. And then Bronwyn wrote back like, well, I am still gay. And like, I am still like, I didn't make this stuff up. And then Kelly just like posted and was just like, fuck her.
Kelly's toxic.
Kelly is toxic as hell.
I handled her for like a couple episodes and I was like, oh, she's fun. And then I was like, I actually can't. It's
I know. There was a time where I was like, she's fun with those like the red lips and so she's gone. So I'll be curious to see who comes. I really don't care for Gina and the other one. Like, I just don't think they're additive at all. So that's where the show loses me as well.
Do you think they'll ever do like a shake up with the new ladies like how they did with both Beverly Hills and with New York, where they've added a woman of color and they've like, you, like, do you think they'll add like,
I just don't think they'll find one
in
that area, you know?
Yeah. And
I think they'll have to bring someone from LA, like.
And that's a tall order. Like that group of ladies, I'm not trying
to. Like they're going to need like a metal detector. Like they're going to need to go far and wide in Laguna.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, who wants to hang with them?
Okay. So there's just been a lot of news this week in our
yeah, it's been a big week for
corner
us.
Of the world. Kardashians Reunion Part 1 aired on E! This week, and you know, Andy Cohen hosted it. I've kept up, as everyone knows, with the Kardashians since day one. I just call them Kardashians. With the Cards since day one, and I watched it. But before we talk about it, I just want to share, if I could, Brandon, with you,
please.
That so Andy had said he was hosting it and he'd mentioned it to me. And then one night I took half a Xanax and I'm just like, as you will. And I'm
that's one does.
Yes, one does. And it comes to me, and this was unsolicited, that I'm going to send Andy a dossier of questions that I yes. hope that he will ask.
Yes.
Some of them are trained
of
thought.
You have access to the direct line. You got to take advantage. Yeah.
But you have to, like, at a certain point. And also, I know Andy watches the show, you know, but I do find myself to be a scholar of it. And I had some harder questions that I wanted answered. And I sent them kind of feeling like this is a bottle in the ocean and
hopefully you'll get it, you know, yeah.
Maybe just a like THX back period.
A little say, emoji.
Yeah,
a little thank
I just want to say for
something.
Myself, though, Brandon, all my questions got asked. So it does just feel like, no, I didn't see like a writer scroll that went up, you know, I didn't see my name.
Yeah.
But it just felt so good to be a part of history.
I'm like, I feel like I'm just in the presence of a lot of power.
Thank you.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of power that you clearly have and that you wielded. And I'm just, wow, this is a moment.
I've always
I'm
wanted
grateful.
To like, I write things, but I'm not like a joke writer. I don't write things for, you know, I would never like write Oscar, you know, like a huge moment where you're like writing for, I mean, you write for TV shows. I could never do that.
Yeah.
So this felt like I got my, a little
you got thing. Yeah you got your like your writing credit and that and the question I mean the questions that one asks reality stars is really
yeah,
important.
Like I had questions which were just like pretty yeah I had some hard-hitting ones. Now that said, so I have a girlfriend that works at E, and she told me prior to the show This I did not get confirmation from Andy on, but I do think it's true that basically their whole thing is like, we'll answer anything, like we'll say any, you know, nothing mm-hmm. off limits. But then what happens is that they go and like edit it and rip it to shreds.
Sure.
So watching it back, I saw one of my questions, but I don't know how many I'll see because mine were like, you know, questions that like start where they're mean.
Yeah.
Like they start a little mean, but I also gave Andy like ways in which I thought he could front load them with kindness.
Sure.
So I don't.
Andy really asked them I was interested to see how you would host this because historically Andy, you know, he rips the Band-Aid right off, and it's you know, and it's like, well, no, that's a person from North Carolina who asked that, and it's like,
all right, I don't know them.
I don't know them, but he did feel like these were you know, gentle and nice, but still direct. So,
oh, all to say, I think a lot of footage is missing from that reunion. That's my last point.
Well, what was the question that you asked that he? Can you say that?
Yes, I'm gonna look it up while we're talking and grab it.
Yes.
Who are your like favorite Kardashians, and what did you think of it?
I have always had a soft spot for Khloé. I don't know why, but like Khloé is all like from the beginning, Khloé has always been, I don't know, like the underdog who like turned it around and like, you know, made her own lane. So I've always had a space for Khloé of all of them.
Me too. She's my favorite. And it really made me feel sad when she said over the years she's lost so much confidence based on the way people have treated her. And she's got, the biggest
dragged.
Heart.
She gets dragged. Yeah. I know, you know, that's just, I mean, you know, I think the interesting thing about the Kardashians, whether you love them or you hate them, I think they are an example of, they really bring out something in the culture, you know, whether it's intense love or intense hate, they really kind of highlight both of those things that exist in our culture.
You're absolutely right. And I think she's made some choices. And this truly isn't me dragging her, just like, unfortunately, and Kendall said, like, she's had trauma choices that make her appear. I don't think she's a weak person. But, like, she's not getting rid of these men, it seems to us. Yeah. And who the hell knows? And so I think people then feel she's, like, a punching bag or something.
Yeah.
I have such a love for her.
She's wonderful. She's funny. I think that's why I like her, because she was the funny one. She brings the jokes. We need jokes.
So, okay, one question I did ask that I'm seeing on here was asked, which is like,
yes,
Kim, you know, something like to the effect of like, the sex tape, unfortunately, which I feel so badly for her. Like, that just really hurts my heart still. I have a hard time that even happened, that got out there. Yeah. But I was kind of like, you know, arguably that did sort of contribute in this weird Matrix, like, fucked up way as a jumping off point. Like, do your sisters give you the credit that you are due? I don't mean about the sex tape, actually. I just mean like her star had risen. And then like, are you getting your due from your sisters? And she very generously and magnanimously answered it by being like, I knew I'm boring, basically, and I needed them.
Yes.
That was one. But another one I have not heard yet is Kylie. As your star rose, it felt like you participated less and less. Arguably, the show helped you get where you are. Were there hard feelings about that? It reads like you felt you were too good for it. Thoughts? One of 30 questions. Courtney and Scott, super quick. Have you slept together in the last 5 years? Yes or no?
I love super quick. Don't think about it. Answer now.
We never see the nannies. Why? No shame. But if you have them, just curious, where are the kids when you're filming? Again, no shame. I have nannies. That part was just in parentheses for me.
I love these questions. These are the Barbara Walter questions.
But then I said a nice one, which I said, have you ever fully dropped into the fact that you have brought endless hours of pure joy and entertainment to millions of people by being you? Because you have. And I hope you really feel that and keep that in your heart and in your hat for a rainy day.
Wow. That's a beautiful question. A compliment and a question.
I just want them to drop it in, like, all jokes aside, like, they have brought me hours and hours of entertainment.
Of joy. You know what's interesting? What I found interesting about the finale is I was surprised to see how, mainly with Kim, like, she seems like she's in therapy. Because the way that she answered the questions were very, like, she gave people credit. She wanted to apologize to Chris. She said all these things. I was like, oh, this is somebody who's, like, in therapy. Like, who's, like, working through the traumas and working through the ups and the downs and has a perspective that's really...
That we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
I just can't get my head around Kylie as much. Like, what Kylie be?
Yeah.
But I also have a love for her. She seems very chill.
She seems chill, but also, I don't know, at the end of the couch, she also seems like she's going through it. I don't know.
You're so right. As I said it, as you said, I'm like, right. That's right. You're right.
To her, I'm like, and Courtney. I like Courtney because we both can't control our faces. When we are mad, like the face is, I thought Courtney was going to leap. I knew that she wouldn't because it's not the Housewives, but she really did look like she was about to leap out of her seat a couple times.
I think she resents Kim so much. I think she resents her mother so much. She's so entitled to me. She's just, I just don't like that person. It's like, I'm going to ask a million questions. I'm not going to do anything I don't want to do. It's like, that's fine to feel that way. But her whole attitude to me is so, there's just, I just see a pit of darkness with her.
Yes. Although there's always a little bit of a cloud. You know? There's always a little, there's a Wednesday Addams about her. Yes. Am I wrong?
Yes. No, you're 100%.
Just a little bit something around her.
100%. Any last thoughts? I mean, there's just so much to unpack, but anything else?
I just appreciated that it felt like Chris didn't know Vivian Westwood's last name. Am I crazy? Because she said Vivian, and it was like...
I think she barely got to the first name.
Vivian? And that was really quite the flex.
I thought she looked beautiful, though, in that outfit.
Stunning. Oh, stunning.
Yeah.
And it fit like a glove.
Scott's going through it, too.
Yeah.
In the coming up when he just like slid in with the white blonde hair.
With the blonde hair.
Kind of skulked in.
What? Yeah. What looked like a folding chair. It didn't look like a game.
It was like, get him an apple box.
Get him away.
Yeah. It really didn't look like that. They were all in like thrones.
Yes. Yes. They were on like custom couches. And all of a sudden he's like pulling up a chair by himself.
It was like you heard it like screech across the floor. Oh my gosh. Brandon, Kyle Goodman, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
It was so much fun. And I want to just plug some of your work.
Oh, yes,
So you are a writer on Big Mouth.
I am.
And you're a star of, correct me if I'm wrong, a star of the spinoff, the upcoming spinoff Human Resources on Netflix.
Yes, I'm part of that fucking insane cast that just got announced. And I don't know how I got a part of that cast, but I'm very honored and excited to be part of
it. I do know how you got a part of it. And I love that show. And I'm so excited for you. And then can you tell us about your solo stage show that's coming up, The Latrell Show, and where we can see it?
Oh, yes. So I wrote a one-person show called The Latrell Show, and it's a dark comedy that explores the mental aerobics of being, you know, Black and queer in America through comedy and some other stuff. And it's, we, because of COVID, we filmed it. And so it's streaming on iamatheater.com until June 27th.
Oh, I love I Am a Theater. Shout out to Katie Lowe's.
Yes, Katie.
I love I Am. I love this, The Latrell Show. Wait, tell us one more time where you can stream it.
I Am a Theater, so that's IAMA, and theater is spelled fancy, so it's the RE, you know, .com. Right.
That's our NYU, you know.
Yes, that's the NYU moment.
Yeah. And then where can people find you on social media? You and I are in an arms race for followers.
Yes.
Couldn't help but notice.
Brandon Kyle Goodman on Instagram, the full name.
Brandon Kyle Goodman. Your Instagram is, it's hitting all the boxes.
Thank you.
It's like an activist, then we see you in Palm Springs looking like hot and buff with like 10 friends in a margarita. It's everything.
Yes. I just want to live my full life and I want people to see that I, you know, like I can talk about real shit and serious shit. I can make jokes. I can be, you know, in my oats. It's I like the full gamut. The wholeness of myself is important.
I love that. And that's so clear. Like you're such a light. It's so just obvious. Some people have it.
Thank you.
You have it.
Yay.
Brandon Kyle Goodman, thank you for being my co-host. And thank you all for listening. Danielle and I have a live show again coming up next week. So we're going to be off on the podcast. It is June 24th with Nicole Byer is our guest.
Oh, yes.
It's so fun. We have so much fun things planned. I can't tell you. And we're going to do another segment of Red Towel Talk where I take my friend Jessica St. Clair to task for some egregious behavior that she has had, which Danielle will mediate. And Drew Drogi, our friend, he plays Chloe Sevigny.
Yes.
He does his impersonation of her.
I love Drew.
He's the best. He'll be doing scenes with us and a live song about the Richards sister. And if you've got a Boots on the Ground, email us at bootsonthegroundbs@gmail.com. And you can come out and perform it. We would love to have you.
Yay.
Yay. Bye, everyone.